listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. Live stream. Hey everybody, it's July 31st, 2015. There's a blue moon out there, and I'm just waiting for Jason Erb, the faux capitalist, to come over to the live stream. I'll just drag him over. Here he is. Welcome, Jason.
Hey, Ab. Good to be here.
Hey, I just dragged into the live stream at fakeologist.com, audio chat, and we're streaming live.
Good to be here.
On s3.fakeologist.com. Yeah, good to talk to you. Let's see how frequently we can, or regularly we can do these little get-togethers to talk, well, hopefully more Canadian than anything if possible. I don't have too many Canadians that I can talk to these, about these issues with that you understand very well and I understand very well. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's significant because like so much of what we see is discussion of what takes place in the U.S. and There's kind of an assumption among Canadians and even perhaps people like finding out about some of these false flags and hoaxes in the U.S. that, gee, like that wouldn't be happening to the same extent here. But you look into it, and they can get away with more of that here. Even things just about that the conversations would be monitored for domestic calls and chats and all that. Like the whole focus was on the U.S., but there's no equivalent of the New York Times. Of course, they're part of the control operation, but there's no equivalent, I think, of kind of people exposing even things like that, like there is in the U.S. So even if it is like controlled opposition, you don't even necessarily get as much of that in Canada.
No, because there's really no interest at all, it seems. Well, there's just fewer people, I guess, in Canada, fewer people, so there's less chance that the numbers would dictate. There's a. Yeah. Are you familiar with a guy named Jeff C. who does?
Yeah.
He was a hope. I was very hopeful for him because he was speaking a lot of common sense for a while, but then some big blow up occurred.
Yeah, with that one, like where it had like the video of that airliner supposedly crashing into a highway. Was that the one where he said that was like completely real video?
Yeah, the Taipei thing. And, right. And really, it didn't seem any different to me than any of the other events. It had all the same operations and Clues Forum took it apart. And I consider Clues Forum the forefront in this kind of deconstruction. So I didn't really need too much more convincing.
Yeah, there was a problem. Like one of the obvious things then, at least though, shown in the video was how something like the plane wing ended up going behind something that it wouldn't do if it was like a real plane. So we see that kind of pattern, you know, like with the London 77 where like the guy's leg or something part of it is ahead of some gate and the other part of it is behind it.
So, what's your take on, is this person just misled or is he misleading? Take on that.
I never really looked into him, but I just heard about that particular dispute. But isn't it the case that he kind of went and attacked a bunch of people?
Yes.
So, yeah, that raises questions then. To the extent that, like I myself have identified a few people that I regard as disinfo agents flat out, but the particular reason why I did that is because I didn't want people thinking, as was kind of the intent, that these people are just crazy. I think they're crazy like a fox. Like I said that about the Web Fairy and Ace Baker and also John Lear. And by the way, like all three of them got mentioned by Jim Fetzer is like having different theories about what exactly happened with the towers. But even then that's focusing you on a limited area. So I was wondering why he was like bringing them up, especially when that whole debacle with Ace Baker faking a suicide. And then actually I looked up that he went and called Fetzer a disinfo agent right after that. So And like, that's the last we heard of him until he was on John Friend's show. But like that's the case where I'll go and speak out if I see someone as like a disinfo agent, because I wouldn't want people falling into the trap of thinking that those people are just crazy. Because that's, I think, what the MO is, especially with the Web Perry there, where that one Harold Channer interview that he was on is like playing the Goldfinger song. Well, it's like making complete mockery of the whole concept of CGI. In her case, it was the CGI, because Baker is about the video compositing, but she was making complete light of that by having something like come out of the tower after that fake plane video was shown there. And it's just like completely silliness that was coming out of there. That was after she looked like completely crazy. Like, even people were commenting that, like, this woman, that was my first reaction, like, this woman looks totally crazy. So, yeah, but in the case of FC, I mean, it is, so I myself, in a way, you could all call it an attack myself of, like, come out against people, but, like, based upon information that I point to, not about the personality of them, unless I think it's part of their script to have a certain personality. But, like, with that, it definitely is suspicious if you, like, have your position, but then you go and attack other people after, like, they question your view.
Yes. So you think he could be, he just doesn't seem like he is a disinfo, but I suppose we have to be aware that the military will put these people out there to be disinfo.
Yeah, it seems like an incongruity just looking at it at a very basic level of that, like what you said with the Clues Forum breakdown, and just, I had looked into it, it pointed out that seeming video anomaly there. And the whole thing is it fit in with all this stuff that Lennon Honor had talked about, that in the 4 or 6 weeks between both 9/11 anniversary and also with bin Laden's fake killing, that there would be all these mention of plane problems. And I think he really nailed it, that the whole thing it was to do was to trigger the trauma of 9/11.
When was Taipei? Was that May?
I'd have to look it up. But I know some of these plane incidents, like now, of course, you heard yesterday they're saying, we found some debris that may have been from the MH370, was it? And that whole thing was like just blatantly, to me, it came across as a total psyop.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. And yeah, that came back in the news, and we had a little bit of the Madeleine McCann story about the little girl, the alleged little girl that disappeared over yonder. And it says TransAsia Airways Flight 235 was Feb 11. I'm just looking at histogram.fakeologist.com. Mm-hmm. By the way, hardly anyone's updating that anymore. But if anyone wants to go there at histogram.fakeologist.com and try and keep the suspicious events log updated, so we can have the numerology and the dates, it's always a good deal. It's histogram.fakeologist.com. It's an open spreadsheet where people update, just a one-line update, so we know we can remember rather the events that we consider suspicious, which is most of them.
Well, I'm coming around increasingly to noticing like very suspicious aspects indicating certain things are hoaxes. I think you know that was kind of the intent of things, even of those, even some of them who were like drawing more attention to that, was to kind of get out ahead of things. So of course, like we know with certain like people that we've identified as controlled opposition, like with 9/11, that I think some of the people coming out and talking about these things as hoax is like intended to come out there to control that as well. And I think that they definitely have been like ramping up some of these hoaxes, and that because frankly it's just so profitable for them to do so in terms of what they want to accomplish with it. And so much
talking about the shooting hoaxes in the U.S.
Well, you know, I still like don't necessarily find the evidence, for instance, that the Trayvon Martin thing was staged hoax, but I have to admit, like, there are certain suspicious aspects that come out later, like...
Well, how about the actual televised trial? Trials aren't televised in the U.S., so that's got O.J. Simpson template written all over it.
Yeah, with that was actually televised then, the Zimmerman one?
I think so, yeah, I think so. But I remember there was some comments about some of the stuffed animals that were put around the courtroom, which if you didn't understand that trials weren't televised before, then you would have seen this indicator with the stuffed animals to really mock her belief that this was a real trial. Similar to the O.J. Simpson trial, I never once considered, well, back in the day, that that could be a mock trial. But yeah, that is, I wanted to make a post about that. That is the real reality television, by the way. When they simulate fake events and call them real, that is reality television. Not the scripted BS where they take B and C grade actors and throw them all together and tell them to interact. I think the real reality is the fake psyop hoaxes that they do. That's reality scripting television. That's reality. Or realism. Simulation.
Yeah, I was just making a post on another site recently about the O.J. Simpson case. Like, I think that overall, I think the evidence is that it was real, but that his son perhaps did it. But yeah, like when I watched that video about some of the oddness of the whole case, like you don't see tears seemingly from the father of the victim, Ron Goldman. Things like that. I mean, there were some wacky things from the trial. It could kind of go either way.
Tons of wacky things.
Yeah.
Tons. And you would have never been suspicious had you not been a fakeologist. Like, I was suspicious of any part of it. None of it at the time. But now,
no.
The thing is so easily broken down into a big, absolute reality television event. It's fantastic. It was fantastic at the time. But now, I don't think you can do it now. It's done. I think there's just, as someone said, the hive mind of the internet is going to catch all the mistakes. Now this wonderful collaboration tool. And the other thing is we're all waiting for the next one. We're waiting for the next hoax. There's enough people now waiting for the next hoax that it's really going to be difficult to pull something like this off without any comment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That there'll be people aware of it. There's a host who talks about that, you know, the official narrative as far as that it was Sandy Hook, that there was the one lone gunman then who took out, what was it, like 26 people, according to the official story. But then she says, oh, well, how come there weren't people that were saying that, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but there was, how come when her husband, there was some woman who was accused of killing, I think it was her kids, and then how come her husband, when he came into the courtroom, like smiling at her, that people weren't questioning whether that thing was a hoax? And one of the comments I made a few months ago was that actually it could have been a hoax. It's just that it wasn't the time then to go and release that because perhaps there hadn't been enough hoaxes that were so blatant, and then the communication tools and the interest level, they'd been able to suppress enough people even becoming aware of those things, because it got so blatant with the Boston Marathon bombings in particular, with even like an orthopedic surgeon, actually two of them at least, speaking out saying that the one guy was an actor in the wheelchair. So this is where, like, now that awakened me so much to the fakery of even with 9/11, looking at it in retrospective. And an interesting thing you get, though, is that some of the researchers of 9/11 who have spoken out about different aspects about the suppressed Israeli connection, I mean, in a lot of ways, and then they'll talk about, how like even Building 7 is a bit of a distraction, but so many of them will not actually talk about the acting that took place on 9/11 besides the really blatant cases of it. But to me, it's just a, I just like to apply logic in so many areas, and it's like, I mean, it's just such a limited effect of the guy in the Harley t-shirt there, that he's like the only actor that just doesn't add up to me. So that's where it's kind of odd that, like, in fact, like you look to Charles Giuliani, I mean, I think he's totally sincere, but like he's a particular case where lately he has come out and said, like, yep, the Sandy Hook thing was totally a hoax. That no one was killed, and that the Boston Marathon bombing, same thing, that was a hoax as well. But then he'll still cling to saying that, well, basically almost 3,000 people died on 9/11. So right. It's been a long way coming to that. That's why 9/11 is still so big, because a lot of people don't see that. About there's just no reason whatsoever to just take it on face value that anyone died. And frankly, I would be surprised if more than a few people died, kind of by accident in terms of if they didn't leave the area when they were told to. And I think that's even how some of the top TV personalities could have gone along with it, is like, well, we're going to give people ample warning, but if they happen to be in the area, you know, too bad for them. But I mean, even just the fact that those guys were involved in the top level, I have no doubt about it, that, you know, that just points to that they're weren't
total media. It's a media
too op. Many or any people killed.
Media is part of the military, whether informally or formally, in my opinion.
And then you look to the direct connections with NBC, with Meet the Press on NBC, the longest running television program. And they proudly announced that they're sponsored by GE, which actually makes some of the weaponry.
Right.
And
well, they don't even hide it. You just have to, not hidden in any way, right?
Nope. And once you know what to look for, there's some things, even supposed alternative shows like the Jim Lehrer News Hour, and then they had the sponsor ADM, Archer Daniels Midland,
right.
And then it came out how those guys had been rigging the futures markets, which was
they're the high fructose corn syrup people, right?
Oh, I think they're involved in that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a poison like no other.
You're involved in agriculture, then, in a big way, then you're probably involved with that, because it's
Did you see this video
bread.
On the Toronto Star site?
Which
Hi,
one is
I'm
that?
Hi, I'm Stephen Woodworth.
Hi, I'm John Carmichael.
Hi.
Is that coming through okay?
Yep.
I'm Lawrence Toey.
Hi, I'm Mark Warren.
Hi, I'm Leon Benoit.
Hi, I'm Mike Wallace. You're Member of Parliament for Burlington. Our Conservative government has delivered on our promises.
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 We've cut taxes for families, for seniors, and every single Canadian.
We've cut taxes for families, for seniors,
and for every single Canadian.
We've cut taxes for families, for seniors,
and for every single Canadian.
We've cut taxes for families, for seniors, and for every single Canadian.
The universal child care benefit is supporting every single family with children.
Universal child care benefit is supporting every single family with children.
The universal child care benefit is supporting every single family with children.
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 We are being hailed by the Borg. On screen.
The universal child care benefit is supporting every single family with children.
Okay, I think you get the drift there. This is, that was really well done, but I guess the media, the Toronto Star, put that in their paper today, or their online version. I don't read the Dead Tree edition anymore, or have it in years, but they're just indicating the scripting that is handed out to the MPs that are somewhat independent, but I think it just makes it so clear that they have no independence whatsoever. Our whole country's really run out of one office called the PMO for listeners. We have some of the most concentrated power in the world of any so-called democracy.
Yeah, if you look on paper and in practice, like the Prime Minister is like in Canada is one of the most powerful in the world.
Yes.
And a big reason is that it used to be that the cabinet could go and dump them, but ever since the 60s, it's been elected by the party, and it's very difficult, unless the Prime Minister is just overwhelmingly unpopular within the party, and if he's not doing a good enough job going and controlling the whole party apparatus, then they can go and have a vote to take him down. But, of course, you can just sell a bunch of new memberships of people who go along with you. And that, so it's so difficult. And then it's like the merger with the executive power, that even though it's like supposedly the governor general, the Queen's representative that appoints people to the Supreme Court, it's on the advice of the Prime Minister. Well, it's basically the Prime Minister going and doing that. And of course he's going and running for the interests of, in the same way the U.S. president is as well. But it is even more a powerful position in Canada than in the U.S. There was a recent video put out by James Corbett about calling it Canada's tin pot dictatorship, which it's not a dictatorship in terms of like pointing to some bylaw in Quebec of criticizing officers, because that's a duly elected municipal council authorized through provincial legislation under the Constitution. And in a way, it's not dictatorship, because I think, unfortunately, too many people buy into this notion that you can have redistributive government that can violate rights so long as it's supposedly in the public's best interest. But that is like a recent case then of like another Canadian just going and pointing out about things. But it's like an overall problem with this control structure that we've allowed. And, well, we can get really kind of more esoteric and go historical, but like a big thing, something I've been thinking about recently is about how, like, the whole shift to agriculture, that's what really enabled the civilizations as we have them now, but also, like, enabled a big control structure in control of all that. You couldn't really have that when it was foraging, people being nomadic and going from place to place foraging for food. And so this is kind of the system, like Alan Watt will talk about, well, this is the way it is. It's like inevitable, but you can have big changes. Like you look to the American Revolution, like some people will say, oh, like nothing really changed, but it did in terms of that for the first time really ever, it was this whole notion that like the people could really choose their government. They weren't beholden to kings and that. And yeah, there was like raw deal for certain people, but that principle could be applied universally, at least, I mean, within people living within the United States and within their own countries. So yeah, this is kind of the situation underpinning it all is what we're into here with, like these things that are had away with, because it's been pointed out that it's like the perfect slave system in place now is that like when the master had to whip the slave, the chattel slaves, they weren't as productive, but now they can, even though you're paying more as a percentage of your income, on to the government than you were as a serf, but then you still have a bunch of money left over for your own personal things. So that's why people don't really, it doesn't affect them as much as it did the serfs. But it's like a really great system towards like putting power near the top. And that's part of the reason why we're having like these psyops, and that is it, unfortunately, I don't think it was as weaponized as much. Like you look to World War II, there was the whole propaganda videos about paying the income tax. So that was like a big deal there. But at least in a way you could say that was, well, even if it was under kind of World War II, was like under false pretenses that it was being fought. But you could say, well, you know, at least there were some redeeming benefits to it. But in terms of now, it's just been, oh, like for those looking into it, once you look at enough of these psyops, it's just been weaponized against the domestic population now.
What's your take on the Senate? I know we only have a few more minutes left, but you think that, like, I'm convinced that the senators that have been so-called involved in the scandals, they're all ex-media personalities, except maybe one of them. So they would know the game better than any of them because, of course, they covered, most of them, politics for years and years and years, so they know all the ins and outs and how to handle the media, and now they're the senators, so they're on the other end of the stick. So we know they know how to play the game better than any of them. So for them to be involved in any kind of scandal is ludicrous because they're not stupid people. We know that, in my mind, it's definitely proof that they're definitely acting out a scandal, as only they would know how, because they're experts. They're in the media. They're experts at playing the media game. So there's no way they would just fall down with some stupid, silly receipt or overpayment or anything like that. So to me, there's no way it could be a real scandal. And I'm speaking specifically of Mike Duffy and Pamela Wallin, who are senators, for no other reason other than their notoriety and their involvement in the media. So now I think that Canadians have always thought that the Senate is a useless wing of the government. I always sort of thought that myself, but I suppose it needs quite a constitutional exercise to get rid of it. And you would really have to get a lot of people on board to get rid of the Senate here. And perhaps these hoaxes that these fake scandals, they think will give them momentum to carry it through with wide support throughout the country. I'm just wondering if you think it could possibly go through.
Well, I saw an article maybe almost a year ago was saying like it was just tongue in cheek. It wasn't actually taking it seriously, but it's like an interesting point as to whether like this whole thing was staged, at least in terms of that Harper would have appointed these two people, like knowing their predilections towards what they would end up doing. Because apparently, at least there was the article saying that Duffy was already known to kind of like misuse his expense account that he would have when he was with CTV. But that was overlooked because being a privately run thing, there's more flexibility and less transparency that's required in that case. But yeah, it like raises the serious question as to whether even like it was some Machiavellian thing or like far more sinister in terms of whether there is like some kind of like fakery going on. But there is this whole push to get rid of, to have some sort of Senate reform and to get rid of it. And there are some really kind of interesting things. If you look to there's been repeated discussions of, oh, we need to have constitutional reform in the U.S. And there was one article a few years ago, like specifically mentioning we got to get rid of the Senate there. And the powers that be would love to go and just only have the popularly elected House to remove one more of the ways of potentially blocking their plans. And that's the thing, to get rid of the Senate, even as useless as it has been in terms of like blocking anything compared to the U.S., that it still is kind of a thorn in the side of those wanting to just have their way with any particular thing. So at least I think it can't be ruled out at all in terms of that those two were like appointed deliberately, kind of knowing what they would do. And the fact of the matter is, like with CSIS and with the RCMP, they even you could kind of know what some of these people, the two that you mentioned, had been up to beforehand. So like the whole big plan is to put people in positions of power that already have skeletons in the closet or that you know are going to behave badly, so that way you can use it to your advantage later to bribe them or to hold them out as an example later.
Well, I have no doubt that the completely orchestrated event. Now, they're media people. If it was a real scandal, they would know how to deal with the media. And so far, they've been completely silent. They're mostly silent. They just look red-faced and stupid. If it was a real scandal, you know they would have every resource to check out and be more independent if you believe in senatorial independence. I'm just convinced that it's just a hoax and they're just playing their roles and will fall for it. People believe it because they don't have the idea in their minds that the media is used to manipulate the public. The media is not on our side in any way. It is not. It is an orchestra. It is an instrument of the government. It is an instrument of the small cabal that controls the government. And in Canada, it's even more simplistic to control everyone because you only need one or two people on the inside in the PMO, the Prime Minister's office, and none of the MPs will be able to speak out. And even if they are aware of fakery and hoaxes, their voices are completely muted. And that is how you control events and the people. That's how so many people can be involved when they're not involved, but they just know what they can and can't say. And for the most part, they can't say one word unless it's approved by our very tiny group of people that control the Prime Minister and his office.
Yeah, and even the whole party system in Canada is really a disgrace, whereby that they can't actually represent the majority of the constituents on most issues. That if there's some deviance there, like if there's like when a Liberal was elected in some more of the rural communities, when the Chrétien government had a bunch of Liberals there, and if like most of them were against the gun control laws for the long guns, at least the registry of it, what was later repealed due to unpopularity among more and more people, the average Canadians even, to a larger degree. But they weren't able to represent their constituents on that. They were essentially muzzled. And so that's a real problem, especially with the Canadian system as it is. But the fact that you will get kicked out of caucus completely, there's more of that sanction as well if you go against the party whip, what the confidence votes are. So it is highly controlled. So I don't say it's a dictatorship because I think a lot too many people buy into the system the way they keep voting for the main parties and that, instead of looking to like a real alternative, I find like the Libertarian Party. But of course, if they got enough power, that there could be the danger too that they make compromises. But at least I find with the Libertarian Party that they'll be exposed as not being libertarian, any of those in government, then in any shape whatsoever, minority or coalition, et cetera, that if they're not actually just limiting the government to protecting rights, you're not going to get rid of everything overnight, but they'll be exposed in that particular case. Whereas the Conservatives, Liberals, and NDP, they've gotten so mushy that, they are constrained in certain ways. You can't have the NDP, for instance, become like some big warmongering party. But you can have the Liberals, to an extent, do that under the guise of protecting international law. But the Libertarians more constrained. So that's why I think too many people are buying into the system.
Yeah. Well, they just don't understand media fakery either. So wait, are you still doing your show, Co-Capitalist, on
It's not
Radio
every
Network?
Week, but it's every 2 or 3 weeks. And I might actually use this particular show here to feed into my own for half of it for this upcoming weekend. So
I'd be happy if you mentioned fakeologist.com.
Oh, sure.
What kind of listenership? What is the network and what kind of listenership have on there?
Truthfrequencyradio.com. I think there's at least several hundred people that are listening live, and then
I
can get several thousand downloads between some of the sites that are linking to me, and then from my own site as well. It's more limited on my own site, the people who come specifically for my show, but then a lot of the articles, and that I get some good traffic all these years later on some articles that I specifically wrote to stand the test of time about economics and that suppressed.
Is it worth being on a radio network, do you think?
Oh yeah, I'd say so if it's like a good network, good technology, no big hassles, and if more towards archiving now, it's not about live listenership like it used to be because too many people are running around with phones.
Yeah,
they're not in front of their computers.
Well, live is not important really anymore at all.
No, not for a couple of years now. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of what I thought. So that's why I was wondering: does it make a difference if you're on a radio network? Does it help? Because I don't equate capitalism or faux capitalism, as you research, with truth media in any way. That's not, I just don't see the link, really. So that's why I was just curious how you came upon that network and if it's beneficial to you.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, even the title Truth Frequency, it's about the truth of getting out of the alternative economics that have been suppressed by the big usury-based banking establishments, that they don't want you to know the history of when that the money was issued interest-free and was actually successful. And they have their controlled opposition out there playing all different sides of it, like one saying, oh, no, you got to have a total free market for money. The government can't be involved at all. But then you find out a lot of those guys are actually anarchists, so they don't even believe in any role for government whatsoever, which is such a minority position outside of like some forums on the internet. You just need to look around at all these elections and how people will keep voting for some of these big parties no matter what and complain about it afterwards, like with the current Wynn government there when they said that those high occupancy vehicle lanes, surprise, surprise, after the Pan Am Games, now they're going to be high occupancy toll lanes.
Right.
So it's like,
that's
this is an outrage. Yeah. Like, I'm not voting. I know one taxi driver who said, like, I voted Liberal all my life. And this was back when McGuinty was up for re-election. And I talked to him.
That's the Ontario leader, for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, the former one who like, brought in a law there that people could be arrested in the public spaces just before and during the G20. Yeah, like someone who like made a deal with the conservative federal government at the time to go and do that, showing that, you know, there's no real, you're expected to do what you have to do as the head of the government in that particular context when you're called upon to do so. There's not really any option like that unless you have enough of a broad-based support of people who say like, no, we want things done differently. So, but that's the case. But yeah, there's, with the whole money system and that, there's a lot that hasn't been covered. And like I say, there's all kinds of control opposition, whether the top individuals themselves are part of it. Even in that particular case, I don't think so. But there have been people who have been, and they're effectively used that way in terms of like receiving funding from basically like even though – and it's played so skillfully is that just because that you have we're against the government being able, we're against these big banks having special government privileges. But the fact that they're not condemning usury of the taking of interest, and then they say, well, that's just the time value of money. But they don't actually look to that the whole notion of money is supposed to be an exchange for services between producers. And that's what it's supposed to be based around, not having like some money that's just issued through some paper entry, and then that's all that the bank particularly does in that case. There's no real value added nature to that whole thing. But yeah, unfortunately, I gotta head off now. Like you said,
nice chatting with you. Yeah, if you want to insert this into your broadcast, please do, and maybe we can join together next week and talk from a Canadian perspective. Not too interesting for the Americans, but I don't think anyone else talks like we do in Canada on a regular basis. It would be great if we could just sort of do this and take a look at some of the weak stories that are fairly weak stories. And we get the week at WEAA every week, week on week. So it'd be interesting just to generate some kind of regular little back and forth talking about it. So the Canadians could just see that it happens here too. It's not just in the United States.
Yep. That's true. It's a good opportunity then, especially being in Canada, to have the local knowledge about these things.
Yeah. We'll have a good long weekend. We're having a long weekend here in Canada for the most part, I think right across the country. Have a good long weekend,
good and
we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Maybe.
Good talking to you and your audience.
Okay. Take care. All right. There goes the faux capitalist, Jason Erb. He has a regular show, as you heard. Just Google faux capitalist, F-A-U-X, capitalist, and hear his stuff. Sends me the odd fake story in Canada that I'm sure our American friends, British friends, Australian friends do not hear about because they're just too weak, too minor, silly. But they happen here, and they do pass laws because of some of these stories. It's very important for people to understand. Okay, the story might be fake, but the laws are real. Real things occur. Real consequences occur. Not everything is fake in the way that like to tar and feather us people that think about media fakery. There's a lot of real stuff that happens as a consequence. So that's what people need to pay attention to. That's why people got to research and understand what's going on. Glad I got someone as intelligent as Jason Erb to talk to, because hell, he's not regular uneducated person perhaps, and that maybe that's why he would fall for media fakery. He's a very intelligent person. He knows more about economics than anyone I've talked to, and has a regular job of some description. So he's not a kook. He's not a kook living in his mother's basement, as people might imagine that their conspiracies or media fakery might consider those people marginalized in such a way. He's a pretty straight up regular dude who just has that intelligence, that bent. He's not as far into media fakery perhaps as I am, a little more reserved, but overall he does understand how it works. Thankful for being able to talk to him on a regular basis. Hopefully we can do that more often. So this has been the audio chat, audiochat.fakeologist.com, and come over here and chat, and also fakeologist.com/cc. That's where we have audio chat by telephone. Playing around with some forum software just for fun. If you want to kick around, go to fakeologist.com/forums2, R-U-M-S 2, the number 2. Playing with some forum software. If you want to try it out, just something else, see if it's any faster than the forum software I'm using at fakeologist.com. That's some of the stuff I've been doing. Also probably going to upgrade to Windows 10. All my machines are telling me it's free, which is an interesting strategy. I don't think you should have to pay 100 times over for what I consider super minor upgrades. I believe is Windows, ever since Windows 3.1, it's been minor, or Windows XP. Well, that might affect some of my sites or some of my operating systems. So if anyone has any experience upgrading Windows 10, let me know. That'll be interesting to get feedback on. And otherwise, have a good long weekend. Probably no guests this weekend as well. We're in the summer months. Not active. I'm still pretty busy on the weekend, but I do audios on audio chats. And John couldn't make it. John Adams couldn't make it on the Fakeologist afternoon commute, but he had a great show talking with a researcher on the Gabrielle Giffords Tucson shooting from 2011. He had a guest who was quite interesting. There's not much commentary on that event, which is most likely has some media fakery, not a total psyop hoax. Take a listen to that show. I posted it all on fakeologist.com. Well, one more thing. If you were able to listen to this audio, I did change servers on July 24th. It did cause a number of issues with people loading the site. I did leave a message at chat.fakeologist.com or fakeologist.chattango.com. Just clear your browser cache and the site should work. To clear your browser cache, it's Control-Shift-Delete. Control-Shift-Delete works. Yeah, and that will clear your browser cache. Firefox, Chrome, Safari, they all use that keyboard command. So clear your cache and reload the site. That should work. All right, Rollo is going to be dumping some audio into the audio chat, I think, shortly. So have a listen to that. If you want to send me audio, there's a website called sendspace.com. You can send a fairly large file. That's a pretty good way of doing it. And send me the link, sendspace.com. The work, someone used that the other day. And send it to me, and I'll listen to it. And I'll upload it to the audio chat area if it fits my way of looking at things. All right, take care.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.